September 11, 2019, it's a Walk for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. We don't usually do Wednesdays.
No, that's a special day.
Yeah, and 1 o'clock, too, a special time even. But we had to accommodate our guests on board in the fucking Love Grotto at the Pleasure Point.
Yes.
George Hurley, Joe Dean.
Yeah. Well, happy hump day.
The Ringling Brothers. Mercales.
That's right.
Elise Mercales.
Mercales.
Yeah. So let's talk about, well, we start off the show with John Coltrane doing Train Sonic. Now, that's just bass. No, there is no bass. That's just drums and sax, right?
Right.
So you guys kind of do a trip on that.
That's right.
Trade the bass for a sack. And then 15th cup of the same old teabag, but this is trio mode. You have Vince Moroni with you.
That's right.
And something live, I think you guys did.
Yeah, I think I only gave you some live tracks. That's all we got at the moment.
Yeah. So let's talk about the proj.
Have you guys met Mike, George?
Have I met Mike?
This is Mike.
Yeah, but I don't know about the Ringling Brothers. I met Georgie. In fact, Georgie, we're like one building away from where Georgie had to bust into the head and save my mescaled ass.
Yeah,
it was all barrage. Georgie stuffs me his little trunk. A little 250. Did you have a 250 then?
Yeah.
TR 250. Gets me in there, gets me home safe. Led to the fucking reactionaries. So this, we're right near.
Wow.
We're right near.
Yes,
this is where Marty lived. Marty Tamburovich with Frank Tolercio and Ed Nielsen. They had a pad there. They never took the they didn't live there long. That's a sound. But they never took the trash out. They had these closets full of trash sacks. And in fact, one dude's
case full of piranhas in there.
Yeah, and fruit flies.
We caught up in the lakes, yeah.
Some dude puked on the rug. I don't know which one of the four. But they just put a waste paper basket over it. Yeah, it was early 20s, you know, when you know everything. That kind of life.
So George picked you up when you were all drunk? Is that what you're saying?
No, George, you had to break into the head. I had locked the head.
Got in the head and locks the door, and everybody's got a piss like all day. You know, we're practically peeing off the fucking balcony.
And I'm like the Cusano shower. I tried to
snoring in there.
And that's how you guys met?
No, I knew him before that, but this crap, him bringing me home, this led to...
That happened a couple times.
Yeah. More than once. But this was what led to the invite to the reactionaries. What was to become the reactionaries.
Right.
As Georgie said, he would play drums for us.
Yeah, well, me, Martin, and Ned Nielsen all worked at Quest downtown. So.
That, there was that earlier that connect.
Yeah.
And Martin, with me and D. Boone, right? Had a thing. It was just to Frank Tolercio. I went to Taper with Frank. It's a weird collection of connections. Collection
of
connections.
Taxi? Was that then?
No. This is later. This is. We're talking 1978. Yeah, this is 1978. And I stepped into the pool. I was walking and I walked right into the pool another time. Man, that pad. I think it was apartment 14 or something. Maybe in the middle. There's three floors. Right? You remember?
Yeah.
So Lands End's got some critical Minuteman memories.
Wow.
Mushroom memories.
Mushroom.
Yeah, so Ringling Brothers was just a name I had.
Spores of lore, yeah. Right?
Spores of lore. Absolutely.
Got to write a book.
Boy.
Fun guy.
So anyway, back to Ringling Brothers. It was just a name, Joe Dean?
It was just a name I had for stuff I did on my own, just like an umbrella thing. And then I decided, you know, I wanted to do a band again, and with the express idea of playing at Cafe Nella, and
which is going to close, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
And I know it's my favorite.
But you know, Dave Travis, maybe 6 years.
It's a good run.
And you know, he's a teacher. Yeah, but I mean, it's a lot of work for him.
Right. Plus, so he's not selling enough beer to cover the rising costs. He told me.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then I saw George walking down Gaffey, and I was like, there's George. So I just pulled over, and I ran up to him. And said,
yeah, how long have you lived in Pedro?
Me? Since 92.
Okay,
I moved here in 92.
27 years.
Yeah, so I'm a newbie.
Yeah, you live by where Martin...
actually met years before
I'm a carpetbagger.
You know, you live kind of where Martin lived, 10th Street. Remember?
Oh, yeah?
Remember on 10th Street, George?
Right.
Martin?
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not too far from
Martin
there.
Lived on...
Between Walker and
13th?
Patton?
No, he lived on 10th between Leland and Walker on 10th. And I know that bean smell. there's bean pods on those trees there, and they have a certain smell.
Yeah, it's not a good one either.
It ain't that bad. It's true. There's more foul.
Okay.
But that I always remember that because I spent a lot of time, a lot of tripping balls. We would buy records from Zeds and not listen to them until, birthday party for the first time, tripping balls. Yeah, just totally lose our minds. Oh, my God, I was on his, I'd have to lay on his deck because I was going to end up there anyways. But you don't live too far from where you live, this apartment. Vicky lived there, too, for a little. That little bird, Kiki.
You're talking about 10th Street. Yeah, I guess
10th Street.
Down the street, just beyond Walker, I guess there are some apartment buildings.
Between Leland and Walker.
Yeah, yeah.
Like halfway, there is. Right, yeah. They're all in a row. It's light blue
old
place.
Ones too. Old ones
and tiny. Old ones and tiny.
With the garage underneath.
That's right, that's right. So, okay, where did you see him walking?
Gaffey. And I had met him, you know, well, I mean, I've seen you guys, you know, over
the
years.
Well, we met some years earlier.
Well, yeah, through Dave Widow, I think.
Yeah, through Dave Widow, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we jammed together. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And I went, and I was thinking, wow, this guy can play some drums.
Yeah, I heard the band.
So I saw him, and I just said, hey, let's do something, let's do something. And George is like, yeah, all right. And a year later, we did something.
And what did you tell him? I got this name I've been using, and I want to use it on you.
I don't know if I sprung the name on him right away. I kind of snuck up on that because I wasn't sure you'd approve.
Well, how many years later, Jill, I saw you and decided to do this new project? So that was.
It was about
10 years. 8 to 10 years.
Later. No, yeah. We didn't talk about doing something back when we first.
But the second time we.
I think it was about a year.
How long has this project been going on now? Less than a year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've done 10 gigs so far. It's a grueling schedule.
But you saw him walking 10 years ago?
No. No, that was more like 2 years ago.
Possum Head. We met through you.
Yeah.
Possum
10 years ago.
I call him Possum Head.
That was more than 10 years ago. Okay. That was
That had nothing to do with Gaffey Street, though.
No. That was just. Dave Widow calling me up and say, hey, come and jam with me with George. And that was at your pad, that house you had. Mm-hmm. And then, so I knew him. And then a couple of years ago when I saw him walking, then I was like, oh, there he is. So I just pulled over right away and ran up. Accosted him.
And would you, we're going to homegrown this or I got some tunes?
No, my original idea was going to be improv. I had no tunes. I thought it would just be short.
Yeah, so what happened? We talked, let's get together and do something. Okay, so he came over the pad, and we just jammed out some bunch of stuff, just, shooting it from the hip.
He'd get a lick going.
And he came back with, five or six songs to all that mayhem we had.
Oh, you taped it?
Because I recorded it all. I recorded the drums and bass to Coleman and added guitar
to some
and vocals.
Songs
and
so from that jams, he made songs.
Yeah,
he put bass lines to them.
Most of the songs in our set right now are ones we made up, and they didn't change much from the original.
Most of the songs we have, we made up. Yeah, okay.
Well, two of them I came up on.
I think that'll hold up, Gordon.
Two of them I did on my own, and two of them are covers in the set.
Well, yeah, they're covers. But with your lineup, they got to be interpretation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think we play one. One's a Joni Mitchell. And then I know I played on the show before you guys doing a Can song.
You did? Where'd you get it? Because I thought I only just sent you those. Lines.
No, this is... I've played maybe a year ago I first played Ringling Brothers.
Those were covers, though. Those were,
one of them is... I know the song. It's called Vitamin C. You're losing.
That wasn't from back then, though.
No,
that was George's idea. We just did that recently.
Well, I'm telling you, I played it on the show. Okay?
All right, okay. I believe you.
Yes.
I believe you.
You know what I mean? Well, look, Georgie, people's got fucking leashes and shit. They record and put it on the YouTube.com. That kind of shit. Or something like that, you know what I mean? I don't know exactly where I got it, but I remember, I know Can very well. I know this was a Can song, with version of Can. And you were doing...
I always liked that song. And then, it's in that movie, Arizona, what's his name? It's some movie that came out that I heard the song again.
Oh, really?
Recent or old?
Yeah, recent movie.
Oh.
Well, Jackie, the
Phoenix. What's the actor's name? Something.
Joaquin Phoenix.
That's his name. And that movie.
Is that
tune? I don't remember the name of the movie, but that tune was in the movie.
Really?
Oh wow, man, that's.
Oh wow, that's.
You know, Damo.
It's in my head, so we just.
The guy who sings that.
He tours.
Yeah. Yeah, but he tours by himself. He don't carry a band. He comes to town.
And
guys get together, and then with his voice.
It's like Chuck Berry.
No. There's no instruments. It's only his voice. They jam to his voice. He gets, and they start playing behind him.
Right.
He leads and jams with his voice.
How do you get that gig?
He's totally self-motivated. Half his stomach's now, too, from cancer. The guy's really, he was on a list where he couldn't get in the U.S. for a long time, but he's come back. I've seen the other singer, too, the first guy, Malcolm Mooney. I saw him play with MX-80.
He's still around?
A few years ago. Oh, okay. In fact, Holger was still around. Holger opened up, but he didn't do any bass. He just did beats with the rapper guy.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw a Holger gig where it was just him and another guy, and he didn't play bass.
He did beats from the beatbox.
Yeah.
And MX-80, if you remember them guys.
Oh, yeah.
They were the backup band for Malcolm Mooney.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was a trippy gig. It was at Spaceland. I guess it's called Satellite now. Anyway, I got to play a song for you guys. That's what's called. The Great Iron Jello.
природа на сум тука и тука ке се распадна.
ride home.
For Pedro Show, yeah, that was Great Iron Jello by the Rinklin Brothers. Where was that recorded at?
I believe that was Cafe Noah.
Okay. Yeah. Only Now, a brand new tune called Captivity. Can Heads, I think they're out of Finland. Square with a little bit of rectangle. Many Birthdays out of Austin with Mix Your Blood and Heart. Canto number 3, Mike Begetta. Where's Larry from? Knoxville. Nisto Nima da ne Razdeli. This Bernays Propaganda out of Macedonia, Skopje. And I did the bass there. It's also got Tony Kedonowski. RO4 out of Tokyo. DJ FFFTP. It's probably 50. How do you pronounce that, brother Matt? FFFFTP. Yep. DJ, Light Your Own Way. T1 Knife Fight, that's Vince Joby, right? Yeah. With Pity Party, brand new. And then the Reekland Brothers again with Vince Moroney doing All Right For You. And maybe this was at Cafe Nella too.
They're all the same gig, yeah.
They're all from the same gig?
Yeah.
Okay. God, they were recorded at different rates.
They were?
Yeah, one of them was 16-bit.
Oh, that was my mistake, because yeah. They're all recorded on my phone. Okay. So I must have...
I mean, 16 hertz. I had to convert it over 44-watt, yeah. It's an easy do. Anyway, okay. What was the first Reekland Brother gig?
It was Cafe Nella. Okay. And it was, I think it might have been was it the Chris Stein Memorial?
Yep. Chris
Stein. And did you do these songs that you just wrote, or was a lot of the gig improvisational?
No.
We did the tunes.
Oh, okay. So none of the gigs are improvisational?
No.
Just bits here and there. But yeah, the original idea was improv, but then it kind of morphed into songs.
So it's not just for the songwriting, it's only for the songwriting. But then you said, like, this Iron Jella, you wrote that one without even jams.
Right.
You just wrote that.
But there was no drum part. He made up the drum
part. That's why I was going to ask about the process. So you play the bass for him, and then Georgie comes up with a drum thing.
On that tune. Virtually everything else started out with his drum pattern, which inspires my bass line.
Okay, so you don't really write these things ahead of time.
Only a few of them. Many of them are George's sparking an idea and me.
While you do practice.
Yeah. So we're pretty much co-writers on most of it.
A lot of songs were done in one session. We jammed out for, I guess, about an hour.
Yeah.
Different sections and drum parts. Put his bass lines to. And separated into songs.
Yeah, my main idea
from that one session.
From that
one session, there's a bunch of ideas.
Yeah,
and then these ideas became tunes, and now that's your set.
That's what got us off the ground and up and going. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that's your repertoire. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you don't really have studio stuff, right? All these recordings are from gigs.
Yeah,
and you know they're all in mono.
They are. Okay.
You didn't know that.
I thought my phone recorded stereo. It plays in stereo.
It might be able to. No,
it's probably the app only records mono.
Well, maybe you could set it to record. Check the settings. But the files you gave me were all mono because I had to turn them to stereo, put them on the thing. But just
I hit you with all kinds of production.
No, it ain't big of a deal, man. I was just curious about studio.
The studio.
You want to take the Reekland Brothers into the studio?
Oh, yeah. I'm saving up, paying my pennies, try to get somewhere and record.
Well, there have been some interest by, what's it, the guy you know?
The guy who has Catasonic.
Mark Wheaton?
Mark Wheaton. He's
I think we know him from the old days with Weber.
Yeah. He's a veteran. He played with...
But he played with Chinas Comidas.
That's right. Oh.
Remember?
And
they were Seattle Cats, I think.
Yeah, when I first moved here in 82, me and my girlfriend, our first band, Dog, from Chinas Comidas.
I know we saw them at Hong Kong, right?
I reckon. I can't remember.
They had a girl singer?
Might as well.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, what happened was the three guys, the lady singer, they broke up, but then the three band guys went to back up Johanna Wen.
Right. But not Dog. Dog joined my first band in L.A.
Okay.
Dog Mitzka.
Okay.
So my first band, which I think was Laughing Academy, if I remember right.
And, because Mark, I think, was the keyboard guy.
Right.
Right? And then Dog, the bass band? I don't know, but them three went to back up Joanna. They would improvise, and she would do these trippy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She'd have the goat
head. The
wedding gown and the riding pumpkins and stabbing them with the toy rifle.
Right. I remember Dog tried to get that bass player for Laughing Academy, but he was too busy with Joanna.
Okay. But I think Chinas Comidas was before that. I think
came
down.
Yeah.
It's a trippy, though. The web, and I think in those days you were doing Hey Taxi. Because Hey Taxi played and Hong Kong Cafe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a few times.
That's another connection.
It was during that era, 79, 80.
That's another connection, because when I was still up in Santa Barbara playing, we did gigs with Red Wedding, which is who Hey Texas became, and they were doing it with a beatbox with a drum machine, and then they stole our drummer.
Spider?
Brian. Spider and Michael.
Michael, that's it. They were the two guys. They were the two main guys.
Two guys.
Yeah, real nice guys.
Yeah.
Spider passed away about
2 years
ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had cancer.
Oh, shit. Man, that's too bad.
Michael's still doing it, though.
You still doing music?
Yeah.
Great. But in a way, that kept your chops up doing the Hey Taxi, because he had to come to save the day with the Minutemen. Frank Tocci quit. And
quit?
Well, after the second gig, he just took off right after the gig was done. And he thought the scene was weird. He even left his drums. I saw his drums again at a Darby Crash band. Rob Henley was playing the drums. I think something kiked him, Rob Henley. Because what he did, he spray painted SP all over him. It was trippy. When me and D-Boo got to the gig, it was like, whoa, Frank's, you know, he loved them drums. He just painted them all wild and crazy. We're like, what? And then after that gig, he quit or something.
So he didn't just quit.
But then
the band, he quit playing drums.
No. Uh-oh. He kept, he's still playing today. Dirk told me he jams with the guy. He works on his guitars. Hmm. But Greg Ginn wanted us to be SST002, and we have no drummer. Georgie learned all the songs like in fucking a month. And in July 1980.
For Paradise Time? How about a night?
A night or something. Right. Well, we recorded in one night.
We went in
yeah, studio. I remember we recorded.
No, Friday night.
We recorded and mixed in one night.
Right. Wow.
Well, it was something like that. I remember it was a July.
It was literally
I remember Martin night. Fell asleep. And it was mixed and recorded the same night.
Wow.
Spotsky.
Well, that's just not done.
It was actually Media Art.
Yeah, 2 days for Double Nickels. You got two of them.
No. Double Nickels is like 6 days. It's 2 3-day sessions.
God, that's amazing.
Because we didn't plan on doing a double album. That was all from Hooster Du.
Yeah.
We did an album in November. We had it all done. It didn't have a name yet, but... And then they come to town in December, just a couple weeks later, and they make this double album. We're like, whoa, we should do that. So we wrote all these songs.
That's what inspired.
And in March, we have another 3 days. And Ethan mixes it in one night.
So you just wrote all those songs.
Well, we had to write more. The other one, well, in those days, we were writing all the time.
Right.
Jesus Christ. But we had to use other people's words. I mean, we needed songs quick. We're at the end of the first hour, September 11, 2019. Just walk Peter show, hold tight for hour two. September 11, 2019, it's the second hour of the Walk Pedro show.
the shadows. The men in white suits coming to take me away. Motherfuckers wanna kill me. The demons and devils want me to go crazy. Steal my soul. Underneath my eyelids, somebody out there trying to kill me.
Worship of the life and the death. He worships the machine. He worships the dollar. He worships the song and dance. He worships the corporation. But he needs to worship the dirt underneath his feet. He needs to worship the dirt. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Watch for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Gross Dash Poverty, Rinkling Brothers. Georgia came up with that title. We're talking about the lyric process, Double Nickels on the Diamond. Georgia had a very early job on a mill in a machine shop, and that's where he wrote a lot of his lyrics. So, yeah, smoking cigars to stay awake. And just the levels of connections and meaning, I thought they were very surreal and they're beautiful. And since you said this was a title, Gross National Poverty, it was Jersey's title, he always let me write titles for his songs. He would give me the words with no titles. So I would read his thing and then try to get a thing on, turn handle, puppet, pull toy, Mr. Robot's Holy Orders. Like that, right away, every time I read a George Hurley song, it'd be bingo. I think of like one word, one title to sum up the whole thing, Nothing, when he had nothing indeed. I think it was even a line in the song, nothing indeed.
But it wouldn't necessarily be.
There ain't shit on TV. No, it's me interpreting. We never discussed this. He would give them to me. And it would be great for me because I'm not going to write the same fucking old music over again because I got fresh words.
Right.
So all of a sudden I'm in a new direction. But then I'm reading the thing, and they're not random words. These things had connections, okay? They weren't like some, like, fucking soap drama bullshit, They were heavy. They had very heavy, but they had layers of meaning, So they spoke to me like that, and I would come up with the titles for them. But D. Boone, his process was like, if there was words in there that rhymed, there was no fucking way I was going to get them. I only got the words that were like kind of stream of conscious, fuck psychology, ways to sell should be destroyed, like memo to self kind of things. If they had one rhyming word, I wasn't going to get them. And,
what do you mean you weren't going to get them to make the music?
Kenny's going to keep them for his songs. Just say, picnic. I mean, he wrote really good songs, but it was a different thing. Well, Georgie would give me everything. D. Boone was selective. I'd only get the shit where shit did not rhyme. It was the more of the... Although, a lot of his songs didn't rhyme, too. They were really open. Like, for example, off that record, number one hit song. There's no rhyme in there. It's just open blank verse. It's beautiful.
Right on.
But the one right after it, shit from an old notebook, that's what it was. It was from his old notebook. I know he was like, probably, because he worked at Nichols, his prac pad now, that they call Lockout.
Yeah.
On 14th.
Yeah.
Haven't been there.
It's one guy owns like them all over the city now, like 12 or 13 of them.
Really?
But it used to be the Nichols Institute. He didn't work there as a handyman. And I know he was probably driving the company pool van, and just writing this stuff down. And they'd be just like thoughts. His were more like contemplating a sitch with me, the ones that I would get. They're musical and rhyming, and they had a big, strong focus. And Georgie's were more like, I don't know, I could see a lot of myself in his words. They would always be kind of suspicious of your own thinking, not trusting of your own thoughts in a way, but still wanting to have something to say about what's going on around you. Really interesting for me. I want to play. I got to tell what else I played. Start the second hour. A Kind of Pigeon with Pigeon Crossing. That's out of Milano, Italy. My. This is from Italy too. With Il Pianto, brand new. Dardo with American Storyteller. Guided by Voices, sending the Suicide Squad. Bob Pollard's coming. Roxy, right? 100. He's going to do 100 gigs show at the Roxy. No, it's downtown now. It's Telegram Ballroom. Yeah, this guy just did his 100th.
Do what? His 100th gig?
No, it's going to be a 100 song gig. He just did his 106th album. This guy. This guy does so much fucking. I don't know. Guy by Voices, Bob Pollard, was like grade school teacher, and he got them writing songs, man. And like most of that is not collaboration. I mean, he's written like hundreds of songs, thousands. Then Carnage Asada, speaking of Dave Travis, with James Brown. And were you ever in that? Any versions?
No.
Because they've had all kinds of people. They've had up to three bass players. I know Steve Reed, Chris Stein. Audio Guido, brand new. Fragmentation. Chris Chappelle's Distortion Pedal with Ends, Transmission, and then Goodbye the Coastline, the Rinklin Brothers. Whose title?
That's my title.
Okay.
And George is like, shouldn't it be Goodbye to the Coastline?
I said, yeah.
Goodbye the Coastline. Goodbye is a verb in that
one. Oh. Goodbye it.
Exactly.
Like,
hey, I need some of your lyrics. Let's get some of your lyrics in the Rinklin Brothers.
Oh, but there are lyrics on some of these songs.
Yeah.
So they're ones you're writing. Okay, okay.
We need George's lyrics. We need you.
So that what happens is then he gets a drum beat going, then you got the bass to it, and then you brought in some words.
Yeah.
Is it like that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the words are after.
Okay.
And they're mostly nonsense.
Yeah, but he's saying it.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get some meaning. Let's make some sense.
You know, there's this Minuteman record called Three Way Tie for Last. It's terrible. It's got no Georgie lyrics. It's also got, Ethan James just got this XBX90 reverb he put on Georgie's snare that makes it sound like Duran Duran. Oh, he just got it that afternoon, you know, and it was like, oh my God, this is going to be forever. And it is.
Just
because
you can doesn't mean you have to.
I know. You know, that gated, like, Tow! It's like, oh my God.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that record.
Like,
that record. But,
like,
man, we're
glass, Bowie.
The seal.
Yeah. Yeah, the hungry seal. Okay, Brother Matt, you going to bring us some Spin Cycle?
Cool.
Okay.
Cool. We're going to go for some live action or?
We're going to go for some live action?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Hand it over.
Should I get my amp or we just plug in direct? Oh, I got to get it here.
No, you got to be like, yeah.
All right.
And here's some drums, George.
A little one over here.
Yeah. Speedo Rose, the Swat, the Hump, the Rebel Depot, the Piccadilly Commando, and a thief called Hansio. The Memphis Belle, Geronimo, Wild Bull, the Fighting Lady, and the ceremonious feeling of Big Ben.
Thank you. Spin cycle. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Brother Matt. What made
Thank you guys.
Do what you did to us this cycling.
Well, technical difficulties got the beats flowing to just get these guys going on something. And then once they got going cool. But the beats never quite caught up.
Music's so good. Music's so good you could almost hear it.
Yeah, that would help.
It's been the second hour of September 11, 2019. Just Juan Pedro Show. Help. Type hour three. September 11, 2019 is third hour of the Juan Pedro Show.
trusted him. And then she grew suspicious. When he made a picnic lunch near the cliff's edge, she decided to push him over.
Pedro, she'll start off the third hour
with some reverb.
With some fucking reverb, because they didn't this motherfucker. And a Anacondafeet, Rinkland Brothers, was Vince Moroni, tradition from Faux Fum. Faux Fum is Dirk and Crane.
Oh, yeah,
when
yeah.
In their 80s, I think it was one prac and one gig. Might have been at, I can't remember, might have been that Wemos. Who's Victor and Lena's backyard. Remember that dude chasing you with the candle, Georgie?
The candle.
Remember no. that? There were these candles that we played some party in Wemos.
Yeah.
It was Sack, and there was a dude chasing us around with the candles.
Yeah, those could be uncomfortable.
And they were like one stick in the ground. Yeah. I can't remember.
Roman candles, yeah.
Candle man.
It was roaming around after you.
Little candle devil. Not just him.
All right.
But anyway, that was Faux Fum. With tradition. Crane, after that, who was in that band, he's in Idaho now, right? You
the pimp. It was some Crane in the background under you, too, with Richard Derrick.
Okay, yeah, because after that I played another Umbrella, which is got the late, great Richard Derrick. And then finally, Kent, you just stay away from him, from the Rinkland Brothers. Who came up with that title?
George.
Okay. And we were talking off air about Vince Moroni. He's like, he's on half these tunes. And
yeah, he plays half our set. He can play more. He just doesn't have time to learn them all.
Right, but Georgie had an interesting insight on the concept.
The idea was like the two-piece band, was me and him, and then just have like mofos come up and just, you know, if they thought they could play up to the set, shoot it from the hip, just go for it.
Yeah, right.
You
know,
you guys are invited.
Goes, anybody can come up, step up, you know.
Oh, yeah. Biza sat in at Cassie's.
Yeah, Biza did one.
Really?
Yeah.
You got a record of that?
Biza and Moroni.
It didn't work. Okay. It's all distorted. Okay. It didn't work, unfortunately.
So if a slide trombone.
You mean there was four? There was four.
No. Vince wasn't at that one.
Oh.
Okay. No, he was. But he. No, that was. Yeah, it was Megalodiacs, right?
Yes, yeah.
Vince had a split or something. He had a split.
Two Megalodiacs, but Vince wasn't at one of the Megalodiacs because he had another.
He was. Yeah, he had
was
another.
Was on bass, Ralphie?
Yes. Yep.
And,
And who else? You had somebody on, what, slide?
No.
No, I was saying that if you want to step up, if you want, if you play the slide trombone, just bring it on. Right, I mean, I started playing the slide trombone.
You can play bass
myself.
With us. We'll have two bass players.
Really?
Why not? Why not?
Big mouthpiece on those.
Yeah, they're actually pretty easy to play.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, to make a noise out of, I can't, I won't say.
Well, a lot of, well, they got a big mouthpiece, so I heard in marching band, mm-hmm. kind of slap. It's easy to get your lip, because the little guys like trumpet. Got to keep it balanced there.
Yeah.
I heard in marching band the bones were the easiest to carry.
I have
and
a.
And also the bones, you know, microtones, right?
Mm.
It's like the fretless bass. There's no frets, you know.
You got to know where the position of the slide
is. And you know, bone is bass clef. You're down there with me.
Mm.
I have a euphonium, has a similar mouthpiece.
Baritone horn does too. It's the big motherfucker.
Right. They're kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it's
similar.
It depends on the tube, but it's got valves. And you know, those all those things, part of the note comes just from your lip.
Yeah.
It all comes
from
your lip.
Then shortened lengthening is on top of it. But
yeah.
Right,
a lot
right.
of it, you got to have the fundamental right on the lip.
Yeah. Right, because
the baritone
has,
pretty good?
Has a same.
I'm doing
too.
Pretty good. I mean, just jumping on it and playing, I can play it. I can play the horn pretty easy.
Cool.
Yeah, you
play some stuff.
Jerry Vilsich gave it to me, guy in town.
Does it got the weights here?
No, there's no weights on it.
Yeah,
it's really a light horn, actually.
They have weights back there, so when you play it, it balances.
No,
for the marching guys.
It's out in front of you.
No, there's a little, it's usually silver.
For the marching guys, maybe.
It's a little weight. It goes in where that tube is behind there to balance it out, right? Because if it's right, you can, like, so it doesn't turn
you
out.
The problem I have with it is holding it right here like fiddler crab. My arm starts getting a cramp, I have to straighten it out. God damn it. You got to hold it up and slide it.
What about this tune, The Jungle Line?
That's Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
It's a cover. Now, whose idea was it to do this cover?
That was his.
Yeah, that was my idea.
Let's listen.
You know.
Talking about jazz and heroin, Africa, New York, and your name. Girders, liars and pikes, the mathematics surgeons of modern night. To hunt, to Harlem, the tales of gospel fields, from the class on cart to the trash on mine. Europe and the deep, deep heart of 60 blue. The savage progress cut the trouble line. In a low cut brow, she brings the beer. So paints the jungle flower behind her ear. Those cannibals shuck and die. You'll be a working girl like her alive. It's hard to die. Steady hand. He paints the cellar full of ferns and orchid vines, and he hangs the moon above a five. Hangs it up above the jungle line.
pitchy, wild and fine. Sergeant Elephant and Chef lay beneath the boat.
Thank you. Ha! quiero, mamá. Mamá, yo quiero, mamá. Mamá, yo quiero, mamá. Mamá, yo quiero, mamá. Mamá, yo quiero, mamá.
Yo quiero mamá, una chupeta. Wow.
For Pedro Show, last music for this edition, The Jungle Line, which is a...
Joni Mitchell.
She's retired now, but that was Joe Dean's idea to do it. Let's talk about influences. I know you've both been on the show by yourself, but like for bass, who do you like? Who inspires you, Joe Dean?
Well, Jaco, of course, Jack Bruce. This guy, Mike Watt, was pretty influential. In fact, in the 90s, my girlfriend at one point said, you know, everything you make up sounds like Mike Watt. And I was like, I can't help it. But I think I've managed to kind of get past that.
Okay.
Rick Danko, of course. Rick Danko.
Yeah, Rick Danko, incredible. Like one of those grabbers, I think, or rippers.
Shoot, of course, James Jamerson and Jerry Jamont, soul guys.
What about that bass lick on Staples Singers?
I'll Take You There?
Yeah.
Doo-doo-doom, doo-doo-doom. So good, so good. But you know what my favorite pop bass line of all time has to be For the Love of Money? Anthony Jackson.
Anthony Jackson with
that,
the pick.
The first time I heard that.
And like effects. George, what about drums? I remember you getting Happy Jack and that Spectrum record by Stanley...
Billy Cobham. Yeah, I like Billy Cobham.
But you really like Keith Moon too, right?
Yeah, Keith Moon. I like Phil Collins too. I thought he's just fantastic.
The Genesis, when he was like drummer man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The way he starts some of his tunes and does some of his beats.
A lot of flams on the toms.
Yeah.
That was his.
How about Bruford though? Special. What a sound.
I don't remember him listening to King Crimson so much.
Really?
Not a whole lot. No.
All right,
but
well, then we'll have to cover one.
I'll tell you, Bruford, he's got that bark and seal snare drum.
Yeah.
Ow.
You don't like that?
No, but he's a great drummer. Don't get me wrong, but man, that snare bugs me.
Really? I like that.
There's something about, I like wires. I'll tell you a good one. You want to know my opinion? Good snare drum sound? The T-Rex album Slider.
I
think it's Will Legend's drummer, man. I think he's the only one alive from that band.
Wow.
And, man, there's something about 70s snare drums. There's some good, fat sounds. Listen to Bill Ward on the early Black Sabbaths. The Dan. Bodie Zadfa, right? Is that Steve Gadd?
Yeah, I like a lot of Dan.
That might be Steve Gadd.
Gadd, Purdy, all those guys.
Purdy's all the Royal Scam. He's almost, I think he's every tune on that.
Yeah.
I think Katie Light is Picaro, one of the brothers.
I don't think any of the albums are one drummer.
I think Royal Scam is. Mm. Yeah, the first album, they're actually a band.
Right, almost first two.
The second one is Countdown, right?
Right.
That one, there's a couple. I don't think
really,
that's,
so really
that's when the drummer starts, he leaves, because he won't do gigs. Mm. And Skunk Baxter leaves, too. There's Rick Derringer, I think, on that one. And Alan Holdsworth. There is so much stuff on the floor that was never
Asia
used.
Too. He's on Asia too, Derringer.
Is he?
Yeah, they use him a lot.
I think Jim Keltner.
Yeah, yeah, and Rick Murata is on Asia too.
I got to do a session with him. Incredible guy,
Jim Keltner. Wow.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man.
Damn.
He pointed up here. Bring your bass over here. I'll show you.
It's the G. I detuned the G string.
But it don't matter because I'm not going to play it.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what Jim Keltner told me in the studio.
All right.
He goes, "Hey, Mike, upper register, K cash register. No producer wants to hear this kind of shit.
Right.
Hold it down. That's
no money to
be made. Session.
No yeah. money to be made of
that. That's a session.
Right.
That's a session. So, where, what's the next step for the Ringling Brothers? To find a studio situation?
Yeah. I'd like to get some more material.
Now, what
together.
About this concept where you guys are the rhythm session, you bring people in? Is that just
yeah, if they want to step up and play, you know?
No, I want the record to be that way, too. We haven't talked about it, but that's in my mind.
That was the idea of putting this together.
Okay.
So far, we got Vince and Joe to play.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really been broadcasting it out loud to many people, I guess. But I would like to see some other people. Step up
wants
and play.
Weeba wants to sing.
That's like broadcasting
us.
It then.
So how did people get a hold of you?
Well, they guess they have to come to a gig.
Okay, next week's the brother gig.
Facebook, like everyone else.
Come up to, because there's no Ringling Brother a web page. You build web pages.
Yeah, I do, but I haven't made
build
us
a
one yet.
Ringling Brother one.
RinklingBrothers.com will redirect to the Facebook page. I have the domain.
Yeah, Mr. Zuckerberg's probably very grateful to you. But why don't you have your own and then have something that directs off fake look to your page?
You're totally right, I should.
And then have a little contact thing there where people can get a hold of you if they want to do the collab.
Exactly. I've made websites for everybody but myself.
Okay.
You want one, Matt?
Sure.
Memo to self. Yeah. No, that's going to be bitching me because I love this project. I love what you both are doing.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's great. And very generous of you that you'd want to spread your music and share it with others like that.
Well, you remember, I asked you to play guitar, and you're like, no, I don't play guitar.
Sometimes I'm trying to write some songs, but it's pretty embarrassing.
But then we gave up on that and said, we don't need a guitarist. Let's just be a duo and have people just do whatever, whenever.
Yeah. But it's been a big honor.
Yeah,
Brother
very
Matt,
cool.
Thank you for your always such a big honor to have the Ringling Brothers.
Yeah, very cool.
Thank you so much.
Mike. Yeah, thanks for coming by.
To the recording stage, and you have stuff from the studio with potential collabs, or even just the twofer, please come back on the show and let's talk about it.
All right, we'll see you in 9 years.
It's been the September 11, 2019 Dishwap Peter Show. People,
oh my God,
keep your powder dry.